Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, Season 7, Episode 38. Are you guys ready to laugh? Because we have a comedian on tonight.
Of course.
Well, this week. We record at night, so I say tonight. But no, our guest this week is Marshall Childs. He's been on the show before, but it's been quite a while. Post-pandemic and live comedy is back. It's the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival coming in October. And we'll also talk about some of the headliners that are coming up and see what Marshall's been up to. He's been writing children's books. He's been doing all sorts of things. And it'll be good to catch up with him. He was recently on the podcast. So you can check that interview out as well. In fact, if you get the podcast version of the WSB podcast with Tim Andrews, you can get an extended interview that Marshall and I did, which was a lot of fun. I just turned on the mics.
Go in the studio?
Yeah, he was there at WSB with me.
Nice.
So he'll be coming up. Marshall used to own a comedy club called The Funny Farm, which was in Roswell at the Startime Entertainment Complex. And then he got involved with the Laughing Skull and Bob Place in Midtown, which is near 10th Street off of Peachtree inside of the Vortex. And it's a really cool little venue. A lot of comedians love playing it. Guys come in there and, you know, big name comedians come in there to do practice work on new sets and things like that. So if you haven't been there, I highly recommend you go. It's a fun place to go. And plus, you can eat good food and drink some tasty beers.
Paul F. Tompkins had recorded at one of his specials there.
I know. We were there, weren't we?
Yeah.
Although I've never seen it on HBO. It was.
I've never seen it either. I remember watching for it for like years and years. And then I forgot about it. And then years later, I heard that it had aired, but I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, they
rerun them somewhere.
Yeah, well,
it's on YouTube.
Have to find it because we were there, so, and it was funny, and we've seen tons of funny comedians down there. But we're also going to talk about some of our favorite comedy specials and people that we've seen live. Snooze and Views. No game this week. Steph is busy with real life things, so we wished her luck. We wanted to kick ass in what she's doing because it'll help her in her career. So kick ass, Steph, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you. But stick around because Marshall
come out to Portal Pinball if you're listening to this.
Oh yeah, plug that real quick. If you're listening today, come to Portal Pinball.
Yeah, do I have the address in there? No, I think I had it in last week's. So it's in Ackworth. Portal Pinball. Just Google it.
Yeah,
you'll find it.
Cool.
We're gonna be there from 5 to 7.
And
I think we're all going to be there, and Ira, a bunch of radios,
and Ira, and all that jazz. All right, so stick around. Marshall's next. So, Marshall, I want to thank you again for coming on my WSB radio show and doing
the. Did we win an award yet?
No, we're going to, though. We're going to do best extended interview that was recorded prior to the radio portion of the interview. It's a very niche. Oh, there goes everything. our son just started walking today.
Nice.
Oh. Really? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you get his first steps on video?
Caitlin did. Well, he walked a little bit earlier today, and he walked at school when he saw her, but she got him walking in the living room tonight.
Nice.
Then they realize what they're doing. They're like, oh, shit, and they fall. Yeah.
I remember our youngest kid, we had some stairs and he had this little tricycle. He'd roll around in this, you know, and he rolled his tricycle up to the edge of the stairs and just looked at it and then just went. We're like, damn, dude.
They don't understand danger at this point.
Right. I remember my oldest son, we had a backyard party and they had like little tiki torches. And he just looked at the flame and just, I watched him do it. I was on watch at that time. And I just watched him put his finger into the flame and then did that. And my wife was like, what the hell, Marshall? I was like, look, he needs to learn this stuff.
Who is he? G. Gordon Liddy?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you much rather learn on a small flame than your brother.
I wanted to find out whether I was afraid of fire. So I put my hand over the candle and burned my hand. And then I was no longer afraid of fire.
That's what you got to look forward to, you know. Just they're going to learn on their own. You got to let them make some mistakes, you know. Sometimes you got to catch them, sometimes you got to watch them fall. I knew he wouldn't hurt himself. It wasn't like he put a gas on his hand and put it, he was just doing this, you know.
Well, we, like I said, we moved the shotgun and we picked up all the broken glass that we have laying around.
You got all your outlets covered and all that?
Yeah, we have that done. We did that a while ago. Once
my parents never did any of that stuff. I remember sticking my finger in an outlet when I was
put a fork in an outlet when I was oh, this will be fun. And it hurt.
Did y'all ever see the Simpsons episode where Maggie starts walking or whatever, and Homer makes outlets look like bunnies?
They're going to put bunnies on the outlet to scare Maggie.
Yeah, he's like, this will make her scared of bunnies. And then Marge's like, she's not scared of bunnies. She will be.
She will be. Oh, so the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival 2022, in returning for the first time in 2 years, right? Or is this 3 years? I can't remember everything.
I think it's 2 years. Last time was in 2019. So yeah, this would be the first time in 3 years. We had to shut it down for 2 years.
Man, everything's back. You're doing it at a bunch of venues in all over Atlanta. It's September 29th, 30th, and October 1st. And you can go to laughingskullfestival.com to see the complete lineup of comedians and find out where all the venues are going to be. And it's exciting, man.
Tell us a little about the whole thing.
So we are an up-and-coming festival. So there's a lot of people. This is our 11th or 12th. And there's a lot of people in the past that have gone on to be big stars. You know, freaking Ari Shaffir was in the festival years ago. Sam Morril was in the festival. Josh Gondelman was in the festival. He's now won 2 Emmys writing for
John Oliver last week.
Anyways, and so what we do is we do up and coming comedians. So all the industry come that looking for the up and coming comedians. And so we had 1,000 comedians submit, and we take the top 50. So like every show, you're going to see 10 comics at least. So it's just a nice showcase, and they're coming in and they're doing like their best 7 minutes, 8 minutes, and just knocking it out. It's a lot of fun. I mean, consistently we get people I've heard over the years, like, you know, I only go to one comedy show a year, and it's the festival shows because they're just so amazing, you know? So it's great.
And, you know, it made me think, because we're going to talk later about, you know, our favorite comedy special of all time and our favorite comedian that we've seen live or favorite comedy show that we've seen live. And you think back to the 80s, when every year they'd have the Young Comedian Special and it was these superstars. They went on to become superstars, but they were only doing 7 to 10 minutes tops, right?
Yeah.
And you get the best material. So you're going to get the 7 minutes that these people have worked their asses off, and it's going to be tight and it's going to be funny. And there's tons and tons of comics. So something for everybody.
Exactly. And the good news is if you don't like the comic on stage, don't worry. They're almost done.
Yeah. Now, how many people from Atlanta enter and make it?
We keep it fair. Like, I don't know the exact numbers on all that. I know that this year we have a good bit of Atlanta comedians because the scene's gotten strong again. And, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years in the business, and I've seen, we really, at the Laughing Skull, we started focusing on, you know, showcases about 10 years ago. And what we've seen is like, you get a crop of really great comedians that then move on. And then it takes a little bit of time for the next crop to kind of bubble to the top. And we're at that. And so this is, I feel like this is like the third or fourth version of what I've seen in Atlanta since we've been doing what we've been doing, probably the third, and we're at the top again, you know? And so if we've got a good bit of Atlanta comedians coming in, and we don't play favorites on that either. You know, just because you don't, it's just because you're a comedian that's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If your video, it was the video too. It's like, we've had some comedians like, you know, I'm funnier than so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, but your video sucked. We can't, that's not fair.
Right.
Because for comedians, capturing a good set on video is like lightning in a bottle. You know, and that's why, you know, young comedians, if you're coming up, you know, there's the advice is always record. You never know that show that's just gonna, you know, because you could have the exact same set, exact same cadence with two different audiences and have two different reactions.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, this year we have a good bit of Atlanta comedians, and it's a good crop again. I mean, I'm very happy with the Atlanta comedy scene right now. They're killing it.
And a lot of people from, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago, if I want to just put a date on it, 12 years ago or so, 2009, 2010, that crop of comics, those guys, like the Beards of Comedy, they're all doing pretty well.
Yeah, the ones that haven't died of AIDS, but yeah. Got it in their beard. That's why they had to shave.
Yes.
So they're doing well. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of comedians from back in that era that have gone on. I'm trying to think of some of the ones back then, you know.
Vinny Bucci.
Speaking of dying of AIDS.
He ate a car.
You know what? Actually, Michael Rowland is going to be on the Tonight Show, I think, tonight.
Really?
In fact, yeah. He's going to be, he's an Atlanta comedian. You know, and you know what we did, what the goal was in Atlanta was like, look, let's make a really strong scene here where if you're the best comic in the Southeast, at any, like, you know, Tallahassee, Charlotte, Birmingham, come to Atlanta for a few years, get really good, and then move on. And Michael Rowland's actually from Atlanta, but that's what he did. He took advantage of the scene when he was here. He was always working. He was out every night doing sets. Then he moved to New York. I remember when he got passed at the Comedy Cellar, which was a big deal. And you know, then he was in New Faces in Montreal this past year. And now he's on The Tonight Show.
That's amazing.
Yeah. There's been a lot of people that have done that path. Because before the pandemic, I think it was even a Tuesday night, if you filmed it right, or if you set it up right and you worked with all the show producers, you could do 7 sets in a night.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to set it up to where you could just come in, do it, leave, come in, do it, leave. And you would just, cause it was like there was like a 7 o'clock show. There were 8 o'clock shows. There was a 9 o'clock show. And then there was a late show or something like that.
Cause like of the Star Bar.
Yeah. And Star Bar on Mondays, you know, Rodney's doing an amazing job with that.
Let's go back to the mid to late 2000s, I guess. When did you open the Funny Farm Comedy Club in Roswell at Star Time?
So that actually opened, I think, in 2000, and then I took it over in 2002.
Okay, so that's 20 years ago. Jeez.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And that was quite a nice intimate room, and it was the first real competition for Punchline. But at the time, you still managed to get touring comics, big names, headliners at both venues for quite some time. But it was really a different type of club. And I think, how long was it before you branched out and kind of created Laughing Skull as, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was more of like an alt comedy type of place at first?
That's right. It was based on an alt comic. You know, that's why when we first opened up the windows, we had 8 comedians like Lenny Bruce, Mort Saul, Richard Pryor, Jonathan Winters. It was a real homage to the alt comedy scene and the lineage there. And so then, yeah, the Funny Farm was not the first real competitor for the Punchline, but we came in and it wasn't my money at the time. I had a different money person that was my partner. We just paid top dollar for talent.
Yeah.
And for the Punchline, I remember one time having a talk with the manager, and they're like, hey, I don't know if we're going to be able to bring so-and-so in because the Punchline says they're interested in them. And I was like, really? Somehow they must have figured out how to get more than 52 weekends out of the year by all the people they're saying they're interested in. And then the manager's like, yeah, you're right. They do keep saying that. I'm like, yeah, do you want my business or not? And they're like, yeah, here you go. You got the deal. And so then it was just a matter of time. And, you know, then that was the new owners that own it now. They were the ones who really wasn't able to keep it up. Like the prior owners were the ones that built it from scratch.
Yeah.
Ron D'Annunzio did an amazing job. You know, one of my jokes about it was, you know, when I started comedy, the Punchline was one of the top 10 clubs in the country. Now it's not even one of the top 10 clubs in the city.
You know, I have a special place in my heart for Funny Farm, because that's where I got high with Josh Blue and Nikki Glaser when she opened for him.
Isn't that crazy?
She's I've still got those videos. You do?
I found the videos of Nikki Glaser opening back then, And I watched them, and there were two totally different sets for a feature act back then. And I mean, and I could tell back then she was going to be somebody. I remember having Tig Notaro as a feature act and looking at her in the green room going, that's a star.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Didn't, God, who did we see? We saw Amy Schumer as a feature act once, I believe.
Yeah.
Not there, but we saw her do that. And then I sat next to her one night, and I was embarrassed that Barry had bumped her from the show. And we were sitting in the balcony all night, and I didn't say anything to her because I was like, I was embarrassed and I felt bad. And then I texted her later, or I said something about it on Twitter, and then she went, ew, you're creepy, and blocked me.
Oh, no.
That's why I don't like her. She didn't.
I have a very special place in my heart for Amy Schumer. She's been very good to me and done a lot of positive things for Laughing Skull. And, you know, without getting into the whole details, I can just tell you this. Amy Schumer is a very, very good person.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
The fact that she blocked you because she can sense your creepiness just adds to the fact that.
That makes you like her even more.
She has a very good instinct.
I'm not creepy like I used to be. I am. I just don't let it out anymore.
I always liked her, and her show was hilarious.
Yeah. But who opened her? What's her name? God, she was so funny. She was on that show Bobcat did. She played a mermaid or something in a pool with, I believe,
Bridget Everett.
Yes, Bridget Everett. So funny.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, Bobcat's another great dude. He's a really nice guy.
He let Tim tell a few jokes before his show at the Funny Farm that time.
Yeah, and then he made fun of me. Oh my God, I tried to do stand up and the jokes were so terrible. And then he mocked my headline, not in a mean way. He went, "A baby with AIDS." That's a great question. Yeah, well, now what was that? That was at Andretti, the night of the ice storm, when the Funny Farm had moved to Andretti for a while.
Yeah, I was there for a hot minute. And oh my gosh, like I remember, so after Andretti's, I had somebody else approach me to do another comedy club inside a entertainment complex, video game. And I went and looked at it, and it just made my stomach hurt.
Yeah,
I was like, I can't do it, guys. I'm sorry. I'm done with this. This is just because they don't get it. They just look at it like, oh, that's another fucking skee ball game that we can put up and make money. And I was like, they just, you know, the Funny Farm did well because my partner for it, Taffy Jowdy, was very supportive and let me do what I wanted to do. And then when I got over to Andretti's, they just did not get it. And, you know, and I was like, oh, and then when they wanted to end, I was like, just give me, what do you want me to sign to get me the fuck out of here?
Well, getting back to the Laughing Skull Lounge, when that place is intimate, it's cool. It's next to a cool restaurant that has good food and has good beer, and it's midtown Atlanta, so there's something going on, and that area has completely built up around everything. And it's sort of it's a place where you can see up and coming comics, and you can see comedy showcases, but you can also see people who are established big names go in there to work on their sets because they love the room so much, right?
Yeah, that's been very special like that. I remember, we're inside the Vortex Bar and Grill in Midtown. And I remember when Michael Benoit, one of the owners of the Vortex, it's three siblings, Michael, Suzanne, and Hank Benoit. And Michael and I were working on the room, putting it together, like getting everything together. And both of us just stopped and kind of looked around and were like, this is going to do some really special things. This is going to be a very special club. And it has been. So then we opened in February of 2009. In July, that July, we had a Comedy Central special with that. Gosh, I always feel bad. I always forget this guy's name. And I'm a fan too. He was the host of Best Week Ever.
Paul F. Tompkins.
And so we were so new, and they were doing a special. This is what's funny too. This is a little inside baseball. Do you remember Paul F. Tompkins did the PFT 300, where if a city started a Facebook group saying they wanted to see him and it reached 300 people, he would get a small venue, like a rock and roll venue. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Jeff,
oh, man.
That happened because of Laughing Skull Lounge.
Wow.
because it was brand new and I had no idea about ticket pricing. People still didn't know who we were, and they were doing this Comedy Central special. So I raised ticket prices to like $35 from $20. And we had a hard time selling tickets. And so then the manager was like, just get butts in the seats. We don't care about the money at the door. Just get butts in the seats. Because they were trying to make money on the show and get a recording, which is not how it works in the business later on. And so then he was like, what the fuck, man? I'm on TV every week. I'm the, as a host of Best Week Ever, and I can't even sell out an 80-seat club. That's when he came up with PFT 300. So it's kind of like a backwards slap in the compliment to Laughing Skull Lounge.
Right.
But no, he's great. So we opened in February of 2009. He did his Comedy Central special in July of 2009. And then we had all kinds of great celebrity pop-ins. And then when we closed for the pandemic, we had Kevin Hart doing a four-month residency. Mm-hmm. Because nice. He was shooting two films in Atlanta, and it was just, that was surreal.
How awesome would it be to show up there one night and he walks in to do a set?
Yeah. Well, we would know him when he was there because we had to have security, and we also had to have the Yonder bags where they put the phones.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there have been times, obviously pre-pandemic, where people would go to an open mic for $10 to an open mic, and Chris Tucker would open the show. Then they'd see the open mic show, and then Ron White would close it.
Yeah.
That happened several times. It's just, you know, and then Margaret Cho was great. She actually had got an apartment upstairs for a while.
Really? Yeah. In that building.
And it was kind of funny because I'm a big fan. Margaret Cho is also another great person, very funny. Love her to death. And, you know, it got to a point where I actually had people complaining that Margaret Cho was on stage too.
She's very funny, but I don't know. It must smell like burgers upstairs from that place.
Well, she got in trouble because her apartment smelled like pot so much. Oh. Like, at my age, I should be getting AARP letters, not stop smoking pot.
And that little mop room off to the side of the door in the line there, that's where everybody went to smoke pot. I mean, I've been told.
Yeah. But that's, I've read about it in Google reviews. That's all.
Yes, that's a place to go smoke pot.
I know Mark Maron liked playing there quite a bit.
Yeah, he loved it there. He also liked Funny Farm, didn't he?
Yeah. So I was booking Mark at the Funny Farm way before he blew up. I remember the first, I think it was the second time he came through Laughing Skull. He's like, hey, man, you might want to mention this podcast I'm doing called WTF. People are really getting into it. You'll see some people wearing shirts this weekend. I'm like, really? All right. Yeah, we'll put it in the advertisement. And, of course, look where it is now. It's
huge.
One of the biggest podcasts ever. And what's interesting about Mark, I think we talked about this other day, Tim, was that he made it in a medium that didn't exist when he started his career.
He made the medium.
Yeah.
Two comedians made podcasting as big as it is, him and Joe Rogan. And and that's why everybody
Gervais has a little credit.
Yeah, he was doing it, and so was Penn Jillette. They were early adopters, but really blowing up like that, Maron and Rogan, both going different ways. Maron more intimate interviews with celebrities and stuff. Rogan talking to, you know, Bigfoot hunters and COVID deniers. I'm kidding. Marshall, we're going to be interviewing a comic for next week's show that you've probably heard of before. He'll be on right after you are. Adam Murray, do you know him?
Yeah, I do know Adam Murray. What's he doing now? I mean, I know the name for sure.
He's acting, and that's mostly why we're talking to him. I saw him, he was featuring for Felipe Esparza.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I first saw him.
Was that the punchline?
Yeah. There are videos of him on YouTube playing Skull.
He said he's played the Skull a few times.
Yeah. I know the name. I mean, you know, you ask me, hey, what's your favorite live comedy show? I'm like, dude, I've seen over 10,000 shows at least.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap, we'll bust through ours and
let Marshall plug the festival real quick. And then if you want to mention anybody that's coming up.
Yeah.
At the club.
Yeah, well, it's Laughing Skull Comedy Festival. It's September 29 through October 2. We have shows all over the city. Obviously, Laughing Skull Lounge, Smithsill Bar, Marquee Walks, which is a new Mexican restaurant over there on Amsterdam Avenue, which is really cool. They got a great space in the back. We're doing a lot of shows at Smithsill Bar upstairs and downstairs, which I'm really excited about because that's actually the first venue I produced a comedy show in Atlanta was the upstairs room at Smith's.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've always been good to me. That's a, you know, I love Smithsill Bar. And, you know, I don't know if y'all know the history about that, like the current owners of the building. Do y'all know about that?
No.
Well, the prior owners were selling it and a developer was going to buy it.
Oh, and knock it down. Yeah.
Knock it down. And so I can't remember who it was. I was talking to the guy that actually reached out to the current owner, who was a guy that made a buttload of money in tech and was, and he's a big Atlanta guy, and was like, hey, this is what's happening. Would you be interested in saving Smithsill Bar? And he's like, hell yeah, that's an institution. So that's what he bought it, not as a business, but as like, we just need to keep this for Atlanta.
That's cool.
And that's cool.
And that's when it got remodeled and everything. He went in and redid it all. And, you know, that's, to me, that's, you can tell when a place has some heart behind it and not just a, you know, Andretti's number cruncher.
Yeah. And I hope that happens for the Star Bar too, you know, because that's in jeopardy right now.
True.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I mean, hopefully somebody does come along and get it because that's an institution too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Turning
little. So, so the festival is coming up, laughingskullfestival.com. Get your tickets. It's a lot of fun. You're going to see a lot of great comedy shows. And there's a very good chance that you'll say, oh my God, I saw that guy like 5 years ago at, you know, Smithsill Bar, or, you know, we're even, here's pretty cool too. So we're also doing shows at Sacred Heart Tattoo.
I love this.
And then also at Atlanta Kick on Miami Circle. Just kind of like, we had a hard time getting a lot of venues. And then, I don't know, are y'all familiar with the Don't Tell Comedy?
No.
So Don't Tell Comedy is a place where they use local comedians or, you know, smaller comedians, and you sign up and say, hey, I want to, they'll say, hey, we're going to have a show this Friday in Smyrna. Get your tickets now. And on Friday morning, you won't tell you where it's at.
Oh, that's awesome. And so it's like a pop-up comedy show.
Exactly. Exactly. And so they've done it in retail stores. They do it in ice cream parlors. You know, I'm a big fan of Don't Tell, and they, and so they're actually popping a lot of comedians like Catherine Blanford, who's blown up.
Yeah.
It's because of Don't Tell Comedy. And so I actually have the CEO coming from Don't Tell, because I was like, hey man, you're helping up and coming comedians. You're looking for up and coming comedians, come to Atlanta. Yeah. So he's going to be here looking for comics.
Nice.
Nice.
Then we were like, wow, if you could do that. So that's where, like, we're friends with Atlanta Kick. We're friends with Sacred Heart Tattoo. We're like, hey, can we do a comedy show there? They're like, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Awesome. <Yeah.
laughs> So, yeah. So it's pretty cool like that. And we'll probably start doing more because we do a lot of satellite shows. You know, we just did one this past weekend up in LJ at a place called Emily's, which is, if you haven't hung out in LJ, dude, it's awesome up
LJ
there.
I know that's cool.
Yeah, it is super cool. Emily's is like one of the best restaurants, and they have an upstairs space. But anyways, these satellite shows, I'm starting to look at it differently now, thanks to Don't Tell. I'm like, yeah, maybe we'd start doing tattoo parlor and ice cream shops, best of Atlanta shows. So it's pretty cool like that. So I think comedy's coming into another golden age, actually.
Good. Yeah, coming back from the pandemic in a big way.
As a matter of fact, we're now doing shows with Alliance Theater. And why they reached out to us, because they're like, look, what we have found since the pandemic is dramas are not selling well, but the comedy plays are selling very well. So we want to start doing some comedy at Alliance Theater.
People want to laugh.
People want to laugh.
I mean, we have enough drama turning on the television, watching the news.
Yeah. People, I mean, it's great. It's great for my industry, right? But I mean,
yeah.
Alliance Theater, they're such a legit, there's another Atlanta staple powerhouse. They're like, yeah, comedy's where it's at these days. So,
and there's no gatekeeper like back in the 80s comedy glut, where everything was on after 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night, and it's live tonight, evening at the Improv. It's like, it was like that cookie cutter comedy. This is all different people from all walks of life. So
yeah it's great. It's interesting because it looks like we're gonna be doing our very first comedian there December 12th. and it's Brad Williams, you know, the nice. Little person. He's very funny, very, very funny. And it's going to be, they're going to be set up for a play, which is the Christmas Carol. So there's just going to be all kinds of elf. I know.
Keep us updated on that so we can promote it. And, you know, I can promote it on my radio show as well.
Yeah, definitely. I will for sure. Well, speaking of that, I want to know about y'all's favorite comedy special you've seen. Remember, you had me do some homework, dude.
That's right. All right, I'll start. My favorite, and it doesn't mean my favorite show of all time, but it's one of my favorites seeing live. I saw Jim Gaffigan in the early 2000s. I didn't know anything about him. I had never heard him do any of his routines. I went and saw him, and I almost died. I almost fell off the balcony because it was the funniest shit I'd ever seen in my life. And I'd seen Jeff and I saw Sam Kinison in concert. But when you don't know somebody's bits and materials and they make you laugh, that's one of the greatest experiences in your life, to see a comedian and just die laughing. And then my favorite special of all time is HBO's 9th annual Young Comedian Show. It was hosted by Rodney Dangerfield, took place at Dangerfield's. And you had comedians like Bob Nelson. So it's the first time you saw the college football routine, which is extremely non-PC. Rita Rudner, who was funnier than I remember. Yakov Smirnoff, Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, Sam Kinison.
And yeah, he closed it, right?
No, the closer was Louis, but Sam was next to last. And Maurice LaMarche kicked it off doing all those great impressions. And I forgot, you know, Maurice LaMarche, of course, is what? Futurama, right? Tons of voices and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I forgot that was the guy. Yeah. But I forgot that that was the guy doing all those great impressions. Like, you know, Jim Ignatowski as the Klingon. Well, you don't want me to blah, blah, blah. So those are my two.
Nice.
My live one was at the Funny Farm. It was Rich Hall.
Oh God, that was a funny show.
That completely was a great involved. Show. And, and Rich Hall, he lives in England, so you never see him over here.
Yeah.
It was rare to see him performing in the States.
And he was hilarious. Do you know why he would do that? Shows in the States? Because he lived in the UK and he makes a shit ton of money at Edinburgh. Like, he's the main star at Edinburgh. So he sells out a theater for 30 nights in a row, makes a buttload of money. And then he had to make X amount of dollars a year in the United States to stay as a United States citizen.
Wow.
Taxes as a U.S. citizen. Yeah. So he didn't have to pay tax on his U.K. income.
That's smart.
Here's another interesting thing about Rich Hall. And by the way, I'm a big fan as well. What he would do, because he had a lot of time on his hands, right? He worked 1 month a year, basically. What he did was he would take, like, classes at the Annex to learn, like, how to do HVAC repair.
Really?
Yeah, just like weird little classes just to expand, because he was super smart and he just liked learning about a bunch of little shit. So he's like certified in like all these weird things that he never does. He just takes the class and gets the test and gets it certified and he moves on.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Smiglets. Yeah, but he had that bag of candy bars and he did a whole routine, but just by pulling them out.
Yeah. And, what about you, Justin? What's your answer? Wait a minute. So that's your. What about your special?
My film special was the Detroit Comedy Jam. That was like Howie Mandel.
Oh yeah.
Paul Rodriguez, Mike Binder, and Dave Coulier.
Nice.
I loved that special.
let's see. Mine best live show was Andrew Dice Clay at the Roxy. It was like 96, I think, 95, 96. He called me out and told me that I was the kind of guy who likes to watch guys pee at the urinal. and that was great. We were right up front, so we were, you know, we started in on him pretty early, and it didn't take long for him to pounce on us. But I thought I walked away with a badge of honor with that one. And I still got a cigarette pack from that night too.
Dude,
which is cool. And my favorite special since I was a little kid when I watched it was Robin Williams, An Evening at the Met.
That's just the one where he's just sweating his ass off.
Yeah. He does the cocaine bit and talks about his daughter and stuff, that because that was big in his life at the time. And that one just kind of for me that I could memorize. I could probably just recite the whole thing, like verbatim. It's one of my favorites.
And that's when we had the trunk and you pull everything out.
Yeah, from behind him.
Yeah.
Those were all great ones. So I was thinking about this, and it's such a hard question. I mean, and these are great questions too, because I've never had them. And all the years of all the interviews, like, well, who's your favorite comedian? And so I thought about it, and it's really hard. But the thing, so my favorite comedy special, I think, has to be Eddie Murphy's Delirious.
Oh God, yeah. Speaking of memorize.
Yeah. I had it memorized when I was 12, and I did it for my family. And that's, you know, I knew at 7 years old I wanted to do stand-up, and that was the first thing, and getting laughed. Like, I honestly believe if Eddie Murphy toured with Delirious and did it word for word, he would sell out. It still holds up today. Yeah.
For sure.
I said to Charlie Murphy once, when the last time he was on the Regular Guy show, I said, why doesn't Eddie just get out there and do stand-up comedy, man? I said, he was one of the funniest. He goes, Eddie don't want to do that.
Yeah, he's made so much money. So I heard that Netflix paid him $70 million for an hour special, and he ended up giving it back.
Wow. Must be he didn't have the drive, or the maybe he didn't have.
You got to do a lot of work to get an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
he could have Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle write for him, and Chris Rock. Yeah. All the guys would write for him in a heartbeat, you know, because Damon Wayans was his big writer back then.
Right.
And but you know, he was shown up to comedy clubs and just watch and then leave.
Right.
That's what he was doing. He was just like, he's just too scared. I mean, he got so comfortable. I mean, I also heard one of the things about him was that he said, you know, talking about all his characters and all he's done. He's like, you know, I've made a lot of money in my career, but I've never made donkey money.
Yeah.
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 Donkey from Shrek just made him so much money. and he just, I mean, I'm making waffles. That's funny. How do you make that money? Yeah. Right. It's Eddie Murphy. So I think that's my favorite special, because I don't know, it just kept popping in my head. I kept thinking of all the difference I saw. I thought about Dave Chappelle's 8:46, you know, the one he did just after George Floyd,
yeah.
And how just impactful that was. It actually made me laugh and cry at the same time. And but anyways, so then my favorite show I've ever seen live, and I totally get that concept too, Tim, of seeing somebody you don't know and then realizing how special it is, and just being like the under expectations.
Same with Ron White when we saw him. I had never heard of him, and then I was like, holy fuck, this guy's hilarious, but go ahead.
Yeah, Ron White's up there too, but I would have to say it was at the Tabernacle, and I was a host, which was cool, but it was with Mitch Hedberg, Louis Black, and Dave Attell.
Nice. Yep, we were there.
Yeah, and I was Mitch Hedberg's one of my favorite comedians ever, and I try to promote him to as many comedy fans. I meet younger comedy fans, and they start telling me who they like. I'm like, do you know about Mitch Hedberg? Y'all, yeah, you know. And I've had some of them come back, oh my god, this guy's great. But yeah, so that was really cool. I was a host of it, and Mitch was also one of those super nice guys. Like, I remember I was taking a picture of Mitch and Dave watching Lewis, or Mitch and Lewis watching Dave from the Tabernacle side stage. And Mitch turned around and saw that, and he goes, hey man, let me get a picture of you standing up here watching the show. That's cool of a dude. And then I remember the very first time I ever hosted a show was at the 40 Watt for Mitch Hedberg, back before anybody knew who he was. And we were backstage, and this guy was talking to him about how much of a fan he was, and this, that, the other. And then I left. I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and Mitch was talking to this guy about his band and where all his band had played and what all musicians influenced him. It was just like, that was Mitch Hedberg. Like, he was just a really good dude that just, you know, kept it off himself. And, you know.
I feel lucky to have been able to see him live.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because that 40 Watt special, when I was hosting it, I did my recording, and back when VHS was a thing, and I recorded it, and I recorded some of his special, and I sent it to my cousin who was in college up in Boston, and all his friends were like, who the fuck is this guy following? This guy's hilarious.
I'm going to go shave too.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. Just his jokes are incredible.
Yeah. He's big on TikTok now, even though that he's no longer with us, but there's tons of different accounts that just post his bits on TikTok.
Yeah.
I still can't look at broken escalator and not think about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
The stairs.
Sorry for the convenience.
Yep.
I saw a wino eating grapes. I said, buddy, you gotta wait.
My buddy asked me if I wanted a frozen banana. I said no, but I wanted a regular banana later, so
I said yeah.
so good. You know, but he said the way he looked at it reminded me of what Einstein said at writing jokes. But Einstein said that he didn't consider himself smarter than anybody. He just stuck with the problem longer.
Yeah.
And Mitch Hedberg said that what he does is he just thinks about the premise and for long periods of time and just keeps coming at it from all the different angles. So it was a very similar thought process between Mitch Hedberg writing jokes and Albert Einstein doing his shit.
Yep.
That makes complete sense for Hedberg's comedy. That's
because the jokes are so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just compared Mitch Hedberg to Albert Einstein and I made it valid.
It works. It absolutely works. Well, man, thank you for coming on and sharing that with us, dude. And again, please stay in touch with us and keep us updated. And I hope the festival goes really well. Again, for people who want to go, what's the website?
LaughingSkullFestival.com.
LaughingSkullFestival.com. Check it out. Look at all the comics that are coming and check out all the venues. Buy your tickets and go. It'll be fun.
Smooches.
Thanks, Marshall.
As usual, Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Euro, our longtime sponsor. And we'd like to say thank you to Mike Hall and everybody at the restaurant. Stop by the restaurant, grab an ice cold local craft beer like Wicked Weed's Pernicious IPA in cans and Tantrum Brewing's Poems at Midnight Sour Berliner Weisse on tap. If you're a business or corporate client who's looking to book a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Euro by calling 770-483-6282. Atlanta Pizza and Euro loves serving the local community of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area. They would like to thank all of their diners for their continued support and business throughout the years. Open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m., Saturday from 12 to noon, closed on Sundays. Also, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable pricing. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Heard the latest news on the radio.
News. And now for the latest news.
So a couple things in current news. So there's a new Karate Kid movie coming out.
Yeah, and the Cobra Kai people wanted to make it clear that they have nothing to do with it.
So it's just the movie studio owns the name, and they're going to make a movie.
I don't know. Will Smith might have like some producer credit because he did the one with his kid.
The one that was so successful?
Yeah.
Another one?
Yeah. The only one that can make Jackie Chan wish he wasn't in the movie.
So the secret move will be the rock slap, which comes at the end after your opponent stands on stage and makes fun of your bald wife.
Cobra Kai people said they'd love to make a movie, but they're not doing this sequel.
No. Well, I mean, who owns that? They don't call him the Karate Kid. They don't use Karate Kid at all, right? They just have the characters.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Yeah, the last Karate Kid movie with Jackie Chan was terrible. But
I never saw it.
But so was the one with Hilary Swank.
No, that one was all right.
And care for it.
Well, I mean, they've done all the... the series is all the sequels. I don't see what you could milk out of it anymore. from the original.
Yeah, they don't need to do. They can, if they want to keep doing it, just keep doing the series. Although I haven't started it yet. So when we talk to, we have a guest next week who's been on the show, and I'll be kind of lost. But that's
he just has a brief cameo on Cobra Kai.
Yeah, next week we're talking to comedian and actor Adam Murray, whose stand-up is pretty funny. So I think we probably have already talked about that with Mark. But I'm forgetful these days. What else is in the news? Woody Allen's retiring from making movies. So he has one more coming out that everybody will be pissed off about at Vox and all those boring millennial blogs. They hate Woody Allen. They don't like good movies. He's going to be remembered poorly, and that's unfortunate because of his work. And I don't know that he did anything. You can't prove that he did, and people simply believe what they read.
Yeah.
But they have the one kid who said nothing ever happened. So, you know, the one kid who hates Mia Farrow.
And we've got to separate the artist from the art, though.
You do.
And he made some very good movies.
And Michael Jackson made tons and tons of great songs. And,
no.
Yeah, he did.
He made no good songs at all.
You can't say that you don't. There's got to be one Michael Jackson.
No, there's not one Michael Jackson song.
I think you're lying. Baloney.
Really?
I don't believe you.
Never.
No, you don't like it. No Jackson 5 songs?
Jackson. There were some Jackson 5 songs that were okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't like Ben?
No.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Come on. You don't like Beat It?
I hated every song on Thriller.
You did not. You're lying.
Hated it.
You did not hate Thriller.
Did you like Eat It?
I liked Eat It, yeah.
Okay.
I liked Eat It too, but I also liked Beat It. Pretty Young Thing. You didn't like that? He's talking about boy, though. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I love you. PYT, Pretty Young. I'm having problems with my voice, by the way. And I don't know why.
You got COVID?
No, I don't have COVID.
Stop making out with Jeff and you wouldn't have that problem.
Well, I can't help it. Hey, congratulations to my brother and my sister-in-law. They have a new baby boy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I'm pretty happy for them. So now they have three children. They're, you know, his older sisters, Abby and Carly, are very happy. And I think I'm going to go out there today and visit them. I got to try to combine everything because we have the thing in Acworth. You know, I don't want to go out and back, you know, twice. I don't want to go out to that area of town twice.
But I just texted your brother. Congratulations. Was it this week?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a boy.
Mason.
Yeah, you finally got a boy.
Yes. Mason.
Gil going to beat him up in a couple of years?
Yeah, Gil will be a bully. Push him around. Yeah. So I'll figure it out. I really want to go to both. I want to go see him because my parents are going out of town. They're driving up north in their advanced age. They're driving up to Pennsylvania.
Why?
To visit my uncle, my dad's brother.
Oh, okay.
Oh, then go down to Amish town and get some jufly pie.
They're going to bring back some deer meat.
I asked him to. They said it's too hard to transport. I'm going to get some Middlesworth chips. That's what I wanted.
You can get those shipped to you.
Yeah, but you had to pay exorbitant fees. Why not just have somebody drive them down to you?
Yeah, I mean, if you know somebody.
And did you guys listen to my interview last week with Jeff Pate?
From the Trans-Siberian
Railroad
guy?
Yeah, the Trans-Siberian Railroad.
Railroad guy.
Yes, yes. When I asked him about Pudgies, he started laughing. I haven't been there in a long time.
I was mad that Rose from Alone wasn't into Pudgies.
Oh, we did ask her that. What yeah. She said.
She just never liked Pudgies.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it looked like you were offering her Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Yeah.
Well, she eats.
She's from Wellsboro. The Pudgies, there's a Pudgies in Wellsboro.
I know, but it's in a gas station.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't have the thrill that we had stealing from their salad bar. You know, one trip to the salad bar, take a whole pizza to your table. Hey, one trip, fuck you.
views, views.
Or.
And snooze.
Snooze.
So what we do last week, Atlanta, Los Spookies, and Quantum Leap. I didn't watch any of those, did you?
Yeah, I watched Atlanta, which it's very good. And they're wrapping it up. This is going to be the final season. It's better to watch it on Hulu, though, with no commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I started doing instead of watching it on DVR or whatever. And Quantum Leap, it's okay. It's network.
Yeah, too, a lot. Yeah.
I like Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
And I like
that. What is he playing? Is he playing the...
He's like the boss of the whole project, the Leap project.
Yeah, but who's the... Do they have a character that's doing that? Come on, Ralph, you gotta do that.
Yeah, his wife or his girlfriend or whatever is the new...
Ziggy?
Ziggy guy, yeah.
Well, Ziggy was the computer.
Ziggy was the computer, and they still have that.
Uh-huh. Ziggy says you have a 48% chance.
Yeah. And they keep it canon, and they leave it open to maybe having Scott Bakula show up someday.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay. News this week, reboot Hulu. New series from Steven Levitan, the guy that did Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sitcom about this. They want to reboot this fictitious sitcom from the early 2000s. It's got Keegan-Michael Key, Johnny Knoxville, Judy Greer, Paul Reiser.
Rachel Bloom, she's funny.
Yeah. So it's good. That's on Hulu.
We both liked it. Yeah, it was funny. I mean, it was definitely a pilot, and you can tell that it's a pilot. You know what I mean? Like, but Paul Reiser is funny in it, and I won't spoil anything if you haven't seen it yet, the roles that they play, but... you know, Johnny Knoxville's funny, and the kid actor who grew up, he's funny when he's grown up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the views for me.
Yeah, I'll give it the views.
Pausability if you like Judy Greer.
Yeah, I do like Judy Greer.
Well, then there you go. You'll be pausing it.
Right? Nice. And number two, Andor. I watched the first one. It's very good.
That's
the views for me. It's got a lot of it's a Star Wars story, but it's like a lot of shit you don't see in Star Wars. It everything looks practical, and I don't know if it is or if it's just this is the age we've reached in the technology. But everything looks practical, and there's like rain, which you don't see a lot of in the Star Wars universe, and it's like dark and gritty.
But you know, everybody dies.
Well, you know Ben Kenobi dies too, but you still watch that.
Yeah, and it's supposedly it's not supposed to be full of fan service. It's not supposed to overload you with, you know, people you've seen before or talking about things that have happened. It's pretty much self-contained.
What's the premise of it?
In the first one, the guy that ends up becoming the rebel spy is trying to find his sister.
Okay.
So I don't know what the purpose of it is, but his friend who he works with or whatever, she is a rebel already.
Okay.
And she's spying on the Empire and reporting to the Rebel Alliance or whatever.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
So... It's good, and I just like the look of it, and it's Star Wars-y enough to where I'm in.
No, I enjoyed Rogue One enough to where I'll use it just to get more.
I love Rogue One. I think that's the best of the non-Star Wars.
Yeah, that's why you should watch. You should watch this.
I might. There's a lot to watch. What's the next one?
It's views for me. And then the Monsters movie, Rob Zombie's Monsters movie, comes on Netflix this week. You going to turn your TV black and white and watch it?
I wish he had done it in black and white, but
You can do that, though. You just turn your color off.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to views it, even though I think it's probably going to stink.
But I'm not going to sink any more time into Rob Zombie. This is pretty much my zombie limit.
I got to add some previous stuff that we've talked about. I'm really into House of Dragons. I don't know how I got sucked into it for being so negative about it, but I really like it. And I tell you, I like it more than I like, well, I call it Snore of the Rings, but whatever. Lord of the Rings of Power, or whatever it's called, is beautiful, and the acting is good, and I don't hate it or anything. I just think it's kind of boring compared to House of the Dragon or House of Dragons.
There's no uncle fucking in.
Well, there wasn't in House of Dragons either.
Yes, there was.
Oh, there was making out, and then they stopped. And then she did some night fucking. Took that guy's virginity, swore his chastity.
He screwed himself over.
Uh-huh.
Completely.
Go ahead. Go ahead. It's fun. I like it. It's fun.
I like it, but I think I'm having the same problem. I'm watching the Lord of the Tolkien thing. I'm watching the Game of Thrones thing, and I'm having trouble having both stories going on at the same time. I keep wanting to blend stuff together from each one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to keep storylines separate, but I like the Lord of the Rings or the Rings of Power, because it's going to explain a condensed story of basically the making of the rings. It'll probably go, since they introduced Isildur and his heirs, it's probably going to go right up to where them cutting the ring off of Sauron at the end of the series. And that way they can pick that right up with Fellowship of the Ring starts with that story. So I think that's their end game. But man, there's so much that they're kind of shoehorning in to make it a cohesive story, which a lot of stuff happening, creation of Mordor and in the Southlands and all that stuff. But I like it.
All right.
Have we seen Sauron at all?
Haven't you seen? Yeah. No.
I don't think so.
The Rings of Power. I don't think
we have. Oh, no. You will eventually, of course.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks to our guest, Marshall Chiles. Don't forget the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival. If you're into comedy festivals and you like seeing up and coming people, I think you could go and check it out. Just go to laughingskulllounge.com or go to the website laughingskullfestival.com for all the dates and all the venues and some of the comedians that are coming. You probably won't know very many of them, but I bet you if you go and see them, you'll laugh your ass off, because Marshall, like you said, finds the best people and brings them down there and launches careers. So we'll talk more about that in the future, I'm sure. And remember, next week on the show, I might have some stuff coming at you from Vegas, because that's where I'll be, in Las Vegas, seeing
Aerosmith, right?
That's right, Aerosmith. You're seeing Aerosmith. So I might have some on the street stuff. And of course, I'm going to check out the various shops. You'll have to figure that out on your own. But comedian Adam Murray will be on the show, and he's a very funny stand-up comedian. So we'll talk to you then. And until that time, please remember to keep it.